Mini-series at the end of the year, and we're talking about our core ingredients. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we shared about Colonel Sanders? Do you remember? We spoke about Kentucky Fried Chicken, how they have their secret herbs and spices. There are 11 herbs and spices that Colonel Sanders discovered that works really well, and many people, 72 years later, are still eating Kentucky Fried Chicken by the bucket loads. In fact, we're going to eat a lot of chicken this afternoon, but it's not Kentucky, okay? We don't have the Colonel's secret ingredients. They're probably, what are the name of those? Like special chicken seasoning. That's all that's in a bottle. That's all that we've used. Nothing special about our chicken. But anyway, but we looked at the fact that after 72 years of being in existence, Kentucky Fried Chicken is thriving, worth $6.5 billion in over, I don't know how many countries, 30,000 restaurants, second largest restaurant chain, because they've adhered to the recipe. They've adhered to those secret herbs and spices. We as a church, we don't have herbs and spices, although we do have salt, okay? We do have salt. But these, we're going to look at our core ingredients. In 1 Corinthians 13, 13, look at our festive graphics. Aren't they great? Thank you. The Bible says this, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith is about having faith in God. In fact, one translation says, have the God kind of faith. God is a faith God. So faith is our belief system. And trust is what we do. It's the outworking. We have faith in God. We trust Him. So we trust in God. Hope. We shared on hope last week. Is that joyful, confident expectation for something good in the future, according to God's word. And that's not rooted in our own efforts, but it's based on a loving, personal, powerful God. Do you remember this message from last week? Yes. And then love, God's love received in our hearts and that we can share amongst us. So we've got to ensure that those three ingredients remain embedded in our culture, that if we were to strip everything away, these three remain. It's got to be the very fabric of who we are as a church and also individually, personally. What I love about these three ingredients is that they all have their source in God. Each one of those ingredients have their source in God. Faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the originator. He's the pioneer of our faith. Hope. We read from Psalm 71 last week that for you are my hope, O Lord God. Hope has a name. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And love. God is love. It's who He is. It's not just what He does. Look what 1 John 4 says in the Amplified. It says this: God is love. God is love. He is the originator of love. And it's an enduring attribute of His nature. It's an enduring attribute. It goes on forever. You can read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 that says love never fails. It never fails. Thanks, Hadassah. That's brilliant. Thank you. But God's character is love. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 13:13 there that now remain these three: faith, hope, and love. It's not either or just two out of the three, and then we're okay. It's faith, hope, and love. So we need to make sure that all three of these core ingredients are actually at work together in our lives. There's a scripture that says, you know, that We can speak to the mountain, and if we speak to the mountain, it will be removed. But the Bible goes on to say that if you don't have love, you are nothing. You are nothing without love. We can have all faith. We can have all authority. But if we're not walking in love, we are nothing. So we've got to make sure that all three of them work together. They don't work in isolation. You know, faith works by love. That's got to be the motivator. Faith works by love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, isn't it? So and so forth. Listen to these two scriptures. I was so excited when I found these two scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he says this, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." I love that. Don't you just love it? I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Don't you just love it? It just inspires me. When I found that, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. The work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. The next scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, just to prove to you that the Bible doesn't contradict. But two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established. So I'll only give you two for today. "But let us who of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." How beautiful, hey? Tick. Didn't you like that? Oh, that was my moment. I just love it. I just love the Word of God. I've heard it said like this: love empowers hope. Hope equips faith, and faith engages heaven. That's a good expression. I think I'll say it again. If I had a pen and paper, I would write that down. I'm just saying, I would write that one down. Love empowers hope. Hope equips faith, and faith engages heaven. You know, if we come into God, we've got to believe that He exists. That's faith. That's the first and foremost priority. We've got to believe that He exists. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We've got to come to Him in faith. By faith, we engage heaven. We don't come to God with our needs. Like, and start begging, oh, Lord, oh, if only you do this. No. No, we come with all three. Love, empowering hope. Hope equips faith. And faith engages heaven. Good preaching, Sandy. Thank you. Praise God. Love empowers hope. Why? Listen to Romans 5. I don't think it's coming up on the screen, but listen to this. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's not up there. No, take that one down. Too soon. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So today, we're speaking about love. We've done faith. We've done hope. Today, we're going to use love. And I think sometimes we use this word love very loosely. Very loosely. You know, we say things like, I love my cat. I love peanut butter. You know, I love football. You know, all these things. This is not the love that we're speaking about today, okay? We're not speaking about our love for cats and dogs and whatever else, other animals you have. What are those little rat things? Hamsters. Yeah, hamsters. I love my hamster. Those things. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a different kind of love. We're talking about the God kind of love. Greek word alert. Greek word alert. Who knows what the Greek word is for God's kind of love? No, put your hand down. Yes, Debbie. Agape. Okay, what did you say? You said agape. Agape. Right. Thank you. You say agape, we say agape. It doesn't matter about the pronunciation. Well, however you pronounce it, it's not the same kind of love for peanut butter in football, okay? So we're going to look at what it's not. What God's love is not. God's love is not weak, it's not whimsical, and it's not false. It's not weak, whimsical, or false. God is not a soft touch. He's not a soft touch. He cannot be manipulated. We can't go to him when we've done something wrong with our little doe eyes, you know, maybe a couple of tears coming down our cheeks. Oh, God, I did this wrong. It's okay, though, isn't it? No, he can't be manipulated. This is not the God kind of love. But because he loves us, he does not wink at sin. He does not wink at sin. He will speak truth to us. He'll speak truth to us. The Bible says that he chastises those whom he loves. Oh, but I thought this was a Christmas, coming up to Christmas. Yes, but we speak the truth in love. We give the whole, full counsel of God in this church. He will speak truth to us because he chastises those whom he loves. He disciplines us so that he will protect us from a harmful outcome, from our actions. You know, for those who've got children, you know, if you've got a child and it's got a knitting needle at home, you know, a little 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and the child takes a knitting needle and sticks it in the light socket, are you going to say, oh, it's okay, I love that child, it's okay, it's all right, it'll be okay? No, you're going to discipline the kid. You're going to say, no, you can't put your fingers or any other device into the light socket because you love that child. You know the outcome is not going to be good if you let it go ahead. It's the same with God. God speaks truth to us because he's so that there can be a good outcome. You know, you think about the woman caught in the act of adultery. And that account, I won't go into it, but you know, it's like only the woman was caught in the act of adultery. I thought there was more than one in that role. But anyway, but the, you know, the Pharisees, they bring the woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. And Jesus eventually says to her, where are your accusers? And she says, you know, they're not here. They've all gone. Because, those who are without sin, let them cast the first stone. And Jesus says these words. He says, I don't condemn you. Jesus does not condemn. But he says, but go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. So when we are sticking our fingers into the light socket, let's not just go to Jesus with our doe eyes. Let's just repent. Turn 180 degrees. That's all it is. That's all it means. That's all that's needed. If we're in sin, if we're doing something habitually that we know God is on our case, repent. Acknowledge your sin. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Well, it's not really. No, it is. Repent of your sin. Receive forgiveness. And move on. Turn 180 degrees. 100, go in the opposite direction. So that's what God's. That's just starting point. I've got 8 minutes. So what does God's love? That's part of his love, of what it looks like. But I want to get to this. God's love is unconditional. Unconditional. No restrictions. No limitations. No jumping through hoops. No strings attached. You know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, you know, I've got unconditional love for this person until they cross the red line. Everybody's got a red line, isn't it? But God's love is unconditional, unlimited, no restrictions. And not just occasionally. It's not like he wakes up in a good mood. You know, now, okay, God's in a good mood today, so I can get away with stuff. No. God neither slumbers nor sleeps, doesn't he? He doesn't sleep. But at all times, he loves us unconditionally. He might not be pleased with us at times, but he still loves us. And I tell you what, if you understood Knowing how much God loves you will change your life. It will transform your life. Look at this in Romans 5, verse 8. We'll see that scripture coming up now. Unrestricted, unlimited, but God demonstrates, he proves, he shows his love, his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lotus, it doesn't say after we improved, after we'd kicked a few bad habits, he died for us. Once we got saved, he died for us. Once I'd cleaned up my act, he died for us. No. Once I'd made certain promises, no. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in sin, while we were in rebellion, Christ died for us. I was an enemy of God. Enemy of God. I would blaspheme his name. I say to my shame. But I would blaspheme his name. Christ died for me. He knew I was an enemy of his before I got saved. And yet he went to that cross. Talk about a faith God. Talk about the faith of God. That he went, he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross, knowing that people are going to respond to him, that they're going to receive him as personal Lord and Savior. I know we've been through this one particular scripture, 1 John 3 verse 1 from the Amplified. We've been through it a lot this year, but we're going to just zone in a little bit. It says this in the Amplified, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God." And so we are. Oh, it's like a privilege to be called a child of God. And I think it's important at this point to say, we are not all children of God. Not everybody is a child of God. Need to clarify that. God is our creator. He's creator God. Every person is created by God, but they're not necessarily his children. The only time you translate from creation to child is when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you trust him for your salvation. So God is love. That's his character. And he is committed to you and to me for eternity. His love is committed for eternity. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. It says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love." God keeps covenant. He is fully committed. Fully committed. He has sworn by himself. He is so fully committed to us. He's committed to those who love him and keep his commandments. How long? To 1,000 generations. For eternity. For eternity. Praise God. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. So I'm just going to 3 points about this love of God. It's steadfast. The steadfast love. It's sure. It's faithful. It's reliable. It's eternal. It's without beginning, without end. Listen to the Oxford Dictionary calls it dutifully firm, unwavering, steady, consistent. This is the love of God. Isaiah 54:10 says this, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed." I don't know if anybody's ever been through a trial where it feels like, man, the mountains have departed and the hills have been removed. My whole world is turned upside down. I don't know if that's anybody here, but I've been through that a few times just this year. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. God's steadfast love. When you're going through that trial, when you're going through that storm, I don't care if the mountains, if your whole world's upside down. I'm sorry, I do care. I love you. But you know what? God's steadfast love will remain. It remains. It will. And his covenant of peace, his shalom, shall not be removed, says the Lord. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, we can have that assurance that God's steadfast love never fails. My next scripture, Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never stops. His mercies never come to an end, never. They are new every morning. Great, great is your faithfulness, O God. Come on. Man, if I was sitting, I'd be standing. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Never. The mountains may be removed. Your world is upside down. His steadfast love will never end, never cease. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Psalm 26, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I walk in your faithfulness, God. Keep God's faithfulness. Keep God's steadfast love before your eyes. Remind yourself, when you were up against it before, he came through for you. You know what the Bible says? He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He's done it before. He's done it before in your life. He's done it before in my life. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's firm and steadfast to 1,000 generations. Oh, we've got to remind ourselves of his faithfulness. So he's firm and steadfast. Secondly, sacrificial. His love is sacrificial. John 3:16. You know the scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to this earth to condemn you. He came to this earth to save you. For God so loved the world. Greek word alert. Who wants to learn a new Greek word? Yes, me too. Houtos. Houtos. Say it. Houtos. Houtos. What was your Greek word today? Houtos is God so loved. So loved. In this manner. It means in this manner, in this way. It marks a degree of intensity. God so loved in this manner, in this way, with such intensity that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. There is no love greater than this. John 15:13. Sounds like the kids are right. They shouldn't be. John 15:13. Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love. There's no greater love than the love of God. Selfless, unconditional, unmerited, undeserved love of God. So, his steadfast love, sacrificial love, and nothing can separate us from this love. Romans 8:38-39. Romans 8:38. I'm going to finish with this. Says this, for I am convinced beyond any doubt, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. Death cannot separate us. Life cannot separate us from the love of God. Angels can't do that. Even an angel. Even if the angel Gabriel came right now, wouldn't separate us from the love of God. Any demonic influence, any demon in hell will not separate you from the love of God. Nothing that happens to us today, nothing that's going to happen in the future will separate us from the love of God. Man, make this your anchor. I'm telling you, make this your anchor. Firm and steadfast, the love of God. Even our fears that we have today, our worries about tomorrow, what Pastor Chris was speaking about in the offering, won't separate us. Fear, worry, anxiety will not separate us from the love of God. Nothing high above the world, nothing low beneath the earth that is deep beneath the ground, nothing thinkable or unthinkable, nothing can separate us. Nothing tangible or intangible can separate us. Nothing in this whole world can separate us from this amazing, incredible, unconditional love of God. You know, all throughout 2024, our theme throughout every message has been rooted. And I don't know if you're aware, if you've been aware, every single graphic, apart from these, but every single graphic in the top corner or somewhere on the screen, when we've put a scripture up or whenever anything's come up, like the title of the message, there's a picture of a tree with its roots going down. All throughout this year, that's been the theme. Pastor Andy preached, we shared a video message, a 15-minute message at the beginning of this year. Our theme for this year is rooted. Rooted. Remember, he said, we're going to draw away from the crowd experience. We're going to get a personal relationship with God this year. We're going to go deeper. Our roots are going to go down deeper in 2024. And I've seen it come to pass in people's lives. It's been a beautiful thing to see. It's been absolutely amazing. We've put on those learner plates. We've gone through all this teaching this year. But the most important thing is that we've stuck to Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19, the prayer from Apostle Paul. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all the saints, not in isolation, not in your room somewhere quietly, with all the saints, what is the width? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes from your head into your heart. It passes knowledge. Why? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. So these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, we thank you for your amazing word. We thank you for your amazing love. Lord, we thank you that you held nothing back, that greater love has no man than this, that you lay down your life for us. I thank you, Jesus, that even during this Christmas season, that we will all become so aware of your great love, that steadfast love, that sacrificial love, that nothing can separate us from you, Lord Jesus. And so we give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord, for your wonderful word in Jesus' mighty name. Just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's moving around, nobody's looking around, If you've never received the love of God in your life, today's your day. I want to give you an opportunity to just pray a simple prayer. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking for your money. All I want you to do today is just receive Jesus Christ. Receive the love of the Father through the finished work of Calvary, that Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for your sin and mine, so that you can have eternity with Him. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why don't you slip your hand up and I'm going to pray for you. Slip your hand up. Father, I just thank you for this great unconditional love. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to this earth as a baby. You humbled yourself and became a man. I thank you, Lord, that you did that. But you didn't just stay there. You lived a spotless, sinless life. You went to the cross. You paid the price. You paid the penalty for my sin and for everyone else's. And today, we just acknowledge and receive that love, that forgiveness, that your blood shed and paid for. I thank you, Lord, that we can receive your forgiveness today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God.